For our message this morning, I'd like to read the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning from verse 1. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our understanding and growth. What has Jesus done for you lately? You know, I don't think that's a question that Christians ask themselves very often, but you might be trying to share your faith with another and talking about how Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and the person might say, well, when did he do that? And you say, oh, 2,000 years ago. And the guy might say, well, that's a long time ago. What has he done for you lately? So if you were asked that, what has Jesus done for you lately, how would you respond? Well, I certainly hope there's some good testimonies of answered prayer. But another way to approach it is to understand the ministry of a high priest. I just read how Jesus is the high priest of a better covenant. And if we understood what high priests do, we would understand what Jesus is doing for us right now. And I have a picture of a high priest here. Let me see if we can get that up on the thing. Ah, there. Now, this is the in the costume that the Jewish high priest wore in the Old Testament. And one of the things he did, you could see that on his chest, he has that, it's called a breastplate, and it has 12 stones. But it's a little bit harder to see. On his shoulders, there's another stone, and on each of the shoulder stones is written the names of six of the tribes of Israel. So all 12 tribes' names are borne on the shoulder of the high priest. And then the high priest bears the people into the presence of God. And so the first thing that a high priest does for us, let me see, is this. Oh, representation. He represents us in the presence of God. And all the, I'm going to give a Bible verse with each thing that Jesus does for us, and they're all from the book of Hebrews. But he represents us before the Father. And it says, this is the hope we have is as an anchor of the soul. The fact that Jesus represents you and me before the Father's face at this very moment is an anchor for our soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has been entered as a forerunner for us. He's bearing us before the Father, representing us there. The Apostle Paul mentioned this in the book of Ephesians when he talked about how We are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that Jesus represents us, and we are seated before the Father. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It's a part of our union with Him, as well as part of His priestly ministry. Now, this is a wonderful anchor that we have, but sometimes we can feel separated or cut off. We could feel alone. You know, a lot of times when troubles come into our life and bad things happen that maybe we are confused about, and we wonder, where is God? Right? Well, let me say that Jesus knows that kind of a feeling. If you remember, when He was on the cross, He said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And He felt forsaken. And we, as, you know, finite, mortal human beings, we have our ups and downs emotionally. And there's times when the troubles can make us feel separated or cut off from God. We can figure, is God mad at us? What's going on? Why are these troubles in my life? And when we do, we need to remember a verse like this, that Jesus is our anchor. He's there representing us from the Father, and we are not forgotten. We are beloved, and we can be comforted. You know, we could have a sure hope, a sure and steadfast hope. And what we have to remember when we're struggling with our feelings, that you know, trying to interpret our situation or deal with difficulties, that it isn't that God doesn't love us or God's not present, but it's our own struggle with faith. There was a little, whatever you call that, a diagram with this train with fact and faith and feeling. I first encountered that from the Campus Crusade for Christ. There's a little, I think it's the Four Spiritual Laws is what the little booklet was called. And I encountered this. And when we're going through life, we need to live by the promises of God. Whatever God has said to us, that's fact. That's sure. We can take that. Money to the bank, right? It's a sure thing. And so all those promises of blessings that I gave from Jesus, that He would be with you and that He would answer prayer and all those kinds of things, that's the fact that needs to pull the engine of our lives. And our faith is what connects it, and our feelings have to be subordinate to our faith. And sometimes that's a struggle. But whenever we feel like Jesus felt when He was on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We got to remember Easter's coming, right? He was in the grave for 3 days, but He rose triumphant. And we may be in turmoil for a short period of time, but in the end, God is going to bring us through it, and we will triumph. Now, another thing that high priests do, let me go back to the high priest here, is that breastplate that has the 12 jewels on it, on each one of those jewels is written the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So he not only bears the tribes on his shoulder to represent them before God, but he bears them upon the heart to intercede for them, to bring the needs and the you know, and the people themselves to God. And so this is one of the major ministries that Jesus is carrying on for us right now as our great high priest. Here's the scripture. He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. And I kind of get a kick out of that. I pray, and you know, I pray every day. And if you counted grace over meals, I pray several times a day. And just about every prayer includes something for myself. But no matter how much I pray, Jesus prays more for me than I do. He ever lives to make intercession. And as a result of that, I can achieve and experience full salvation. And I can have that kind of confidence. So what is Jesus doing for you today? He's making intercession for you, always representing you and lifting your concerns to the Father. Now, there's another thing that priests do. He's lifting his arms and he's pronouncing a blessing. That was a required task of the high priest in the Old Testament, was to pronounce blessing upon God's people. And so we call this benediction, when you pronounce a blessing on people. And there's a very famous benediction in the Bible that I've heard spoken here at this church. It goes, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, that is the famous blessing that the high priest was supposed to place upon the people. In the context, that's a quotation from the book of Numbers. It's introduced by God commanding Moses to speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, that blessing I just read, and then it concludes, so they shall invoke my name upon the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. Well, Jesus is the one who pronounces God's benedictions upon us, and is in fact the channel of God's blessing to us. So we have the scripture, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access to all the riches of heaven through our Lord Jesus. In another place, Paul puts it this way, my God will provide all your needs according to his riches in heaven. And it's through Jesus that this comes. He is the new and living way into God's presence. What is Jesus doing for you today? He's opening for you the channels of heaven, the blessings of heaven, that through him you could come to receive grace and mercy and learn to live a life in fellowship, in dependence upon God. Well, there's more. Here we have, if you don't recognize him from the drawing, that's Jehoiada and young King Joash. And if you remember, Joash's grandmother killed all of Joash's brothers and took over and ruled as king. That's just the wicked King Athaliah. She's not referred to as a queen. She takes over the kingship. And she killed all her children and grandchildren, except this one, Joash, who was raised by Jehoiada, and you could see Jehoiada's teaching him. Well, this was a regular assigned duty of the priests to teach Torah to the people. And our Lord Jesus continues to instruct us. That's a way that it's something that he is doing for us today. Here's the scripture. You have come to Jesus. As Christians, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We're in covenant relationship with God. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. So God continues to speak to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. He does it by the Spirit. He does it through the Scriptures. He does it through the reading or preaching of his word. And he continues to instruct us today. So these are four vital things that Jesus is doing for us today, representing us before the Father, being the source of benediction to us, interceding for us, giving us instruction, helping us to live a life as God intended it to be lived. And as the sermon title, and as it says in the scriptures that we read, that he does this because of better promises in the new covenant. Here's the scripture. Jesus had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Since he himself was tempted, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Now, this is a wonderful thing, that the way that God has designed the life to be lived in relationship with him. And in Christ Jesus, we have sympathetic presence, right? He's a merciful and faithful high priest because he's been tempted, because he's took on humanity like us. And so we can have that privilege of experiencing Christ's sympathetic presence with us, no matter how isolated we might feel. He comes to us in our needs and our difficulties with sympathetic presence, but he also has the power of better promises to lift us out of that kind of situation. And so this, I believe, is what Jesus is referring to when he talks about how I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly, a life that can be lived in fellowship, in covenant relationship with God, where he experiences his presence and his power as we live our lives in faith. So, if anyone ever asks you what Jesus is doing for you, here's some suggestions. And what's the appropriate response? What's our response? I would suggest that our response is love. I mean, after all, isn't that the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That our response to all these things that Jesus is doing for us and how he has redeemed us and able to save us to the uttermost, our response is the gift of our hearts given in gratitude to God. How will you respond to such a wonderful Savior? Let us pray.